Do you know that most modern hymnals have changed that first line to from such a worm as I, I took the word worm out. And Amazing Grace saved a wretch like me. They changed that to knowing not that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. How blessed we are if we know that. That way, that's the only thing that makes grace amazing. John 7. As I said, I want us to read between the lines. I want us to, as his disciples, they're listening to this, and I want us to marvel if we don't hate him. All that he said here, he said so much. Now it says the Jews' feast was at hand. He didn't walk in Jerusalem. He didn't walk there in Judea. He walked in Galilee. We've seen that. He kept saying that. He was in Galilee. You know, that's where he did most of his miracles, in Capernaum. And he spent, that was called his city. That's where a bunch of poor fishermen laboring, nobodies from nowhere that the whole world looked down on. And those were his friends. Those were his disciples. That's who he called. That's who he came to. That's who he dwelled with all the time. Like Rocky Mount, Virginia, of all places. This ain't New York City, that's for sure. As far as I know, there's no gospel in New York City. And our Lord was not in Jerusalem. He was outside the camp with a bunch of outsiders. Marvel. Marvel at that. That the Lord hadn't left you, that you are not in the midst of that mess out there. It says the Jews sought to kill him. And down in verse 7, he said, the world hates me. The Jews hated him. I don't hate him. Do you? I'm ashamed of my love, and I don't talk. That's why I don't talk about my love. You don't talk about your love either, do you? You don't go around putting the slogan on your shirt of how I love Jesus. You don't do that. That's blasphemy. That's people bragging on themselves. But we do, don't we? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? Yes, Lord. You know. You know. Why did Simon know? Because he put that love in him. Simon didn't love him. There was a time he didn't love him. He didn't care about him. Didn't even know him. The Jews hated him. He said, the world hates me. That's what he said, didn't he? Didn't he say that? You know, that's what Romans 1:30 says. Haters of God. When you tell people that people hate God by nature, they, oh, no, preacher, what do you mean? I've always loved God. Men love their conception of God. Men love, Romans 1 talks about their vain imagination, how they've imagined God to be. And this is what men imagine God to be, that he just loves everybody. He's just a kind old father upstairs. He just loves everybody without exception. And he just wants to save everybody. And just hoping, wishing that they'll believe on him and let him save them. That's what most people say about God. That's not the God that's about. And what they say about man is he's basically a good creature, and he just needs his environment, you know, and he's raised bad, and they just need to get this goodness out of him. He's got faith. He wants to believe in God. We just have to pull it out of him. We just have to convince him that if he'll make his decision, if he'll let go and let God, and, you know, let Jesus into his heart, and all, that's not in his Bible. That's not man. That's not God. That's not salvation. Salvation is a holy God who reigns and rules over every creature on this earth, who purposed everything that happens on this earth before the world began, who upholds all things by the word of his power, and everything is in his hands to do with as he pleases. That nothing is left up to anybody or anything, not even devil, certainly not man. Everything is in the hands of the God of the universe. And that God is Jesus Christ. He's not a helpless, frustrated old man upstairs. He's not a helpless, frustrated martyr standing outside anybody's heart's door. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high on the circle of the earth. Everything in his hands. He's coming back someday. Now wrap it up. That's the God of this Bible. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They didn't fear Jesus when he was walking on this earth. They thought he was just a man. And men don't fear him now because they think it's the same thing. He's just a man. So they call him Jesus. His disciples saw him clearly. Why? How did they know him? How did they know who he was? Why did they love him? Because he revealed himself. He chose them. He elected them. The world hates sovereign election, not his disciples. We love sovereign election. Why did the disciples know him? Why did the disciples bow to him? Why did the disciples, are you with me? Why did the disciples, why do you love the truth of who God is? Who Christ really is. Why do you know who God really is? Why do you see the scriptures as it is and not the way you think it is? Because God chose you. That's what he said in chapter 6. At the end of the chapter, he said, have not I chosen you 12? Oh, if you love God as God, all things work together for them that love God. Well, most people don't. The God of the Bible. People mad at the God of the Bible. How could all this happen to such good creatures as us? Why do bad things happen to good people? You got it all wrong. Here's the question. Why would anything good happen to such bad creatures? And that's a fact. But God. See, salvation is by mercy. Not getting what we deserve. Salvation is by grace. Completely given to you. Sovereign mercy. I'll be merciful, God said. It's reserving mercy for thousands on whom I will. And you know, I'll tell you who it's for. It's for those who think, I don't deserve this. That Pharisee, speaking of smiting on your breast, that Pharisee went in the temple. God, here I am. Aren't you glad to see me? I'm here Sunday morning. I accepted you. I believed you. I let you in. I've let you be Lord of my life. And I've given up this. I've given up that. I'm not like that old fellow over there. Well, all he can do is smite on his breast. Publican over there, he wouldn't even look up. He'd say one thing, seven words. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And he went out of that place justified. That's who Christ came for. That's who Christ hung on the cross for. That's who God chose. Because that's the only person that will marvel that God would save such a wretch as him. How about you? We're here this morning. Why? These Jews went to this feast. Turn with me to Leviticus 23. The feast. The feast. What feast? This is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Leviticus 23. Look at it with me. Leviticus 23. What was this feast all about? It was the Feast of the Tabernacles. They were to take branches from trees, palm trees, thick trees. That's oak tree. Oh, so much symbolism. Willows of the brook. That is a tree planted by the water. You're with me, sister. I see it in your faith. And rejoice before the Lord always. And they would make these booths, these little tents that they all dwelt in around the temple. Okay? They were all in these little tents made from trees, covered limbs, leaves of the trees covering them. Are you with me? And for 7 days, 7 days, this is what they were to do. Look at verse 36. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. Here in John 7, our Lord is on the eighth day. Brother Ed, on the eighth day, he's going to stand up and he's going to cry. Read on in verse 37. And made by fire unto the Lord a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon this day. Verse 39. You'll keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days. Verse 36. Holy convocation. That means a holy consecrated meeting unto the Lord. We're offering by fire. Fire. Burnt offering. Fire. Burnt offering. Burnt offering. Burnt offering. Fire. You get in your tent, in your little tabernacle, and you gather around. Are you with me? You gather around where this burnt offering is being made, and you rejoice to the Lord, and you thank the Lord for this burnt offering. And there's no, all through the Gospels, you don't hear of one lamb being sacrificed. Do you? You see it anywhere? I can't. I've searched and studied. Turn the page. Leviticus 23. It says in verse 42, dwell in these booths, these little tabernacles. You know, we dwell in a tabernacle, a tent. God's folding up his tent. Then what? Well, those who've been burnt with the sacrifice, and are going to go on to glory. Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. You know what we're going to be doing? We're going to have a tabernacle not made with hands. And you know what we're going to be doing? Gathered around the burnt offering. Rejoicing. Look at verse 43. That your generations may know. May our children may know. That everybody who hears this may know. That I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, tabernacles, tents, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. That's what we're doing here today. Why do we preach Christ? He's the burnt offering. Why do we meet here? The Jews, go back to that. The Jews were having a feast. That's all they were doing, is living it up, feasting. Spaghetti dinner. They were probably charging money. They were charging money. The first thing the Lord did was went in the temple and cleared it out. He said, "This, you made it a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer. It's a house of worship. It's a house to gather to do one thing, see the sacrifice." And they weren't doing it. They were holding a feast, just like religion today. Spaghetti dinner, you know. Bake sale. And our Lord wasn't a part of it. He wasn't a part of it. And he's not in this mess today. He is where God's people are gathered around the sacrifice, around Christ crucified. That's where he is. Now his brethren, look at it, his brethren. You know he had at least six brothers and sisters. You know that Mary had at least six more children. You go and stand, if I went up and stood up in that St. Francis of Assisi place and said that, they'd hang me. Well, she's still the Virgin Mary today. No, she's not. She was a virgin because he's the woman's seed, born of a virgin, Isaiah 7. She didn't stay a virgin. And she was a sinner, saved by grace, by the one whom God put in her. And she was found in him. Explain that. We've got Marys in here that know that. Well, his brethren, they didn't know him either. Verse 5, they didn't believe on him. And they said, go up to the feast if you want people to know you. You see that? If you want to be famous, do these things where everybody can see you. Our Lord, and I hate that term, famous. I know it's in Scripture, but not in this sense. Our Lord didn't come here to be famous. He became infamous. He made himself of no reputation, he said. He came into a world that hated him. Why? Because God hates some sinners. There's some people that God hates. You know who God loves? Those that love his son. You know that? Everybody else God hates. Is that right? Yes, it is. Well, they said, go up if you want to be known. Our Lord didn't seek to be known. Our Lord didn't come here to try to get people to believe on him. He came here for his own. He came here for his elect. He came here for his people. And he said, my sheep know me. They'll know. They're going to hear my voice, and they're going to follow me, and they're going to love me. And they're going to bow to me. And they're going to believe me. And they're going to hope in me. And all their trust is going to be in me. And I've come to save them. And I'll do it. He did it. His people. Now in verse 10 it says there's much murmuring because of him. Not among his disciples. They weren't murmuring. They were marveling. They're marveling. Well, here's something I want you to see. He had six brothers and sisters, by Mary, that is. Two of them, one was named Jude, and the other one named was James. I think, we believe he had at least three sisters and probably three brothers. There's no evidence that the Lord saved. Jude and James were apostles. You know that? His earthly brethren. There's no evidence that he saved any of the rest of his family. He's no respecter of persons. You understand? And there's no family. We're not saved. We're not born of blood. We're born of God. And they witnessed Jesus Christ as the most glorious. They saw him grow up. They never heard him angry. They never heard him lie. All they saw was beauty. All they saw was glory. All they saw him, heard him say was wonderful things, kind, compassion, mercy, grace. He was the most obedient child. He was a model child to his parents. He served his brothers and sisters all his day. He served them. Does that remind you of anybody? Joseph, his brother, and they didn't believe on him. Because that's not what saves. Observing morality and observing goodness and all, that's not what saves. It's the sovereign mercy and grace, revealing grace of God that saves you. And he saves whom he will. And he chooses whom he will. And so he did. And Mary had to say, it's the Lord. Didn't she? I marvel that he saved me, Mary said. I marvel that he saved Jude. And James, I marvel that he's my Lord. He didn't have to save me. Well, he went into the temple. I love this. He hid himself for a while, and he was there before anybody knew it. He was there, observing, watching. And nobody knew him. Now, he's a public figure. Why didn't people recognize him? Huh? He was everywhere. Why didn't they recognize him, Pilate? Right there he is. He hid himself. He hid himself. His disciples knew him all along. They knew him. He was not hidden from them. He's robed in flesh. He looked like most other people, but they knew him. And then he went into the temple. I love this. It says, about the midst of the feast, verse 14, he went straight into the temple. First, they said, go up to the temple. He said, no, my hour is not yet come. It's not mine. Yours is always ready. You're always ready. They wanted him to go up into the temple and make himself known and be famous because they were his brethren and they would have made some money on that. They would have been famous too. He's our brother. Like some people talk about Christianity. Oh, I'm a Christian. It does your business good. Yeah. Everybody that was a disciple of Christ back then was killed. You know what? Persecuted. Well, he went into the temple when it's time. It was his time. And his time to be known, to be shown, to be revealed, his time, he revealed himself to his disciples here and there, here and there. He came for his own, his disciples, and revealed himself to them like he has you, not everybody. And then when he was hanging on the cross, this was his time for which he came. The fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, for this cause, to redeem them that run under the law. And his time for all to see him was him hanging on Calvary's tree to look to the burnt sacrifice. That's why he came. That's his greatest time on earth, okay? But then he went higher than that. He went from there to the grave, and then the Lord ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He ascended on high where he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then the next time everybody sees him, oh, he's going to be famous, all right. Every eye shall see him. Now here's what I want us to marvel at. Have you seen him hanging on that cross? Have you seen his glory hanging on that cross? Have you? Have you seen why he came and who he came for and what he did? Why would he do this? This is his glory. This was his cause. This was his glory, Sister Tammy. You see this, don't you? You've seen the sun. And if you've seen the sun, everything else is darkness, isn't it? That's his time. And it was a time of love when he showed you. I passed by you and you were dead. And I said, live. How? Look into the sun. Look into Christ. Time of love. See, God loves those that love his Son. Those he's revealed Christ to. Those that know they need a sacrifice. Those that know that they need somebody to die for the wretch like me. We're so blessed. The disciples are standing over there listening to everything he says. And Simon's thinking, I'm so thankful. I don't hate him. I'm so thankful. I was right in the middle of all these people. I was just like everybody here. Oh, he chose me. He came to where I was. He revealed himself to me. Oh, blessed are my eyes. Blessed are my ears. Blessed is my heart. He revealed himself to me. Is that you? He's God. He's not just Jesus. Simon said, if the Lord had let Simon Peter speak at this time, he said, what's wrong with you all? This is God. Hit the dirt. This is God who's come down. He shouldn't have. He should have destroyed us all. But God, he's so merciful, so gracious. Simon Peter and Thomas and James and John and Bartholomew and Thaddeus and all of them old son. Matthew lived for money. Matthew lived for money. But God came by his table one day and said, Matthew, you're going to die like everybody else trying to make money. Stop, Matthew. Follow me. Matthew standing over there thinking, oh, if you left me alone, I'd be rich, and I'd be poor. I'd be alive in this world. I'd be die without God. You see? Are you listening? He's condemning the whole world here. Condemning the whole world. They hate God. I hate Christ. Hate him. Well, some of them he brought up the law. He said, You love the law, don't you? You love Moses' law, don't you? He said, you don't keep the law? Now he's really going to make them mad. You don't keep the law. You Jehovah Witnesses, you don't keep the law. You Mormons, you don't keep the law. You Seventh-day Adventists, you don't keep the Sabbath. Who is the Sabbath? Somebody say. What's that mean? Rest. What do you mean rest? Stop your works. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. By works, no man is judged or saved by grace. None of works, lest any man should boast. It's His work. You see that? You know how blessed you are? You see that the law, all the law says is guilty. Don't holler, preacher. No, open the windows. Let me holler it loud. Maybe somebody passing by, there's nothing to them. Maybe they'll hear it. The law. They don't keep the law, these people. They say they do. And here's the severity of it. Stephen, you know this. Stephen, that's a good name, isn't it? Stephen, you know this, don't you? If righteousness come by the law, Christ died in vain. We've got all these poor yet rebellious people running around with black hats and beards thinking they're keeping the Levitical law. And I do feel sorry for them, I do. But what they're saying is, Jesus and me. His works and mine. You're going to give me glory. That's what they say. Our Lord said, you don't keep the law. To offend in one point, guilty of death. To think it, you've broken. That's what our Lord said. And people hated that. These religious people, oh, hell, they hated it. What do you think about it? What's your hope? Hope? Do you hope in your goodness, in your works? Do you keep the law? Then what's your hope? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I have hope. In who? In what? Jesus Christ. It's the only hope there is. They said, we know you. You know where you're from. You're from Nazareth. You're from Nazareth. Who is this? It's He that was with Him from the beginning. You see, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was manifest in the flesh. No, He's not from Nazareth. He's from heaven. And He kept saying this. I'm come down. And people said, what do you mean you come down? And here's those that are born of God know that in the true prophets of God, in 1 John 4, say that He's come in the flesh. That this is God, not just the Son of God, mind you, but very God of very God. God to be honored and worshiped just like God the Father, the same, the one. That He's come in the flesh. That He was God before He came. He was God when He came here. And He was God when He left. And He'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God our Savior, Jesus Christ. He hadn't changed. And He's the... Look at verse 24. He said, judge righteous judgment. Oh, men don't understand. Most people just don't understand that God hath appointed a day in which He will judge all men in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. That's what Paul preached, didn't he, John? In Acts 17, Mars Hill. You just don't understand. The unknown God, the holy and righteous God. Stephen, he said, y'all don't understand the holy and righteous God in whose hands our breath is and all our way. And we need mercy from this God. And God has made a day in which He will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. The man, Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means He's the only righteous man who ever lived. The only holy man who ever lived. The only man God will accept. The only man approved of God. That everybody else is unacceptable. Everybody else is rejected. except those who come to Him and ask Him to accept them in Him, to cover them in Him. I am naked. I need a covering. God sees everything I think and do, and I'm guilty. I need a covering. What's that? It's Jesus Christ. His righteousness. Oh, man. In verse 28, I'm going to close. He cried in the temple and said, "You know me. You know where I came from, Nazareth. But I'm not come of myself. He that sent me is true, whom ye know not. And I know him, I'm from him, and he hath sent me." What about you? Do you know him? This is the point I wanted to make, and the thing I want us to leave here rejoicing if we know him. Why would we know him? Why? And I may preach Wednesday night on grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter's last words, his very last word. Why, how do we know him? Well, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, neither knoweth the Son but the Father, and vice versa. And no man knows him save him to whom he will reveal him. He reveals himself to his people, those he loves, those he came for. And they know him. They know whence. They know him. They know where he's from. He's from glory. He came down. And they know why he came. Not try to save anybody. Save them. And it says that many sought to lay hands on him. See that verse 30? Many, no man laid hands on him. Talked about Thomas. Laying hands on him. Thomas would let him go. Mary, when he arose, Mary Magdalene. Any Mary Magdalenes in here? You know who Mary Magdalene was? The Lord cast out 7 devils. You talk about somebody hopeless. You talk about somebody knew who saved her. You talk about somebody knew they were worthless, a wretch. You talk about somebody that loved the Lord for saving, for choosing her and saving her, Mary Magdalene. And when our Lord rose from the grave, Sister Bonnie, he revealed himself first to Mary Magdalene. And it says she grabbed him by the feet and would not let go. He said, "Mary, let go. I've got to go back to the Father. I'm coming back. And I'll never leave you." He wouldn't let go of those crucified feet. Those beautiful feet that had brought her glad tidings of great joy from heaven itself for such a wretch like her. What about you? What about you? It says many believed on him. Did they? About the miracles. It was all about the miracles. They said, "When Christ comes, will he do more miracles than him?" No, they didn't believe on him. They didn't believe on him. Here's what it is to believe on Christ. Here's what it is to believe in him and on him, okay? I gave the illustration of water. You know, you believe in it, it's water. If you believe in it, yeah, that's water. But to believe on it is to drink it. Believe in Christ. To believe he's came to save sinner. To believe on him is to believe I'm a wretched sinner. No good. I can't save myself. And it's to cast rest. I can't walk, Sinai. I can't get there. I can't take the first step. Well, just sit down over there then. And see the salvation of the Lord. Just sit still. Just rest. Be seated like Mary Magdalene at his feet. And listen as he tells you what he did for you. Oh, you make your rest. make you sing. How many people know the song, Free from the Law, Happy Condition? They ain't singing that at Seventh-day Adventist place. They ain't singing at the Mormon so-called place. Uh-uh. We are, why? We know, free from the law, happy condition. The Lord Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fall. Christ hath redeemed me once for all. Sinners believe it. Sinners receive it. Here's the miracle that God's people will never get over. The greatest miracle of all, that all of God's people marvel in and glory in, and they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He is and why He came. The greatest miracle of all is us. That He would come for me. That He would reveal Himself to me. That He would save a wretch like me. That's a miracle. You're looking at God's miracle. The greatest miracle of all is save sinners that hate Him. That's a miracle. Is that you? Oh, let us never lose sight of that. All right, John, let's sing a closing hymn.